Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. Thank you for tuning in again today. I hope what I'm about to share with you is a blessing to you and your loved ones. Usually on the second Sunday of each month, I have Pastor Robert Sessler on the program from Let There Be Light Ministries at lightministries.com. However, due to the Pope's death, we decided to push his broadcast back a week. So, hopefully you'll be able to catch the broadcast next week when Pastor Rob Sessler is on the show at that time. I need to share some comments regarding the Pope that everyone in the world is wondering after here. It seems every media event, every camera on earth seems to be pointed in his direction again. Even in death, these men can pull the world to their side. The reason I didn't comment on this last Sunday directly after his death is because I pre-record the broadcasts usually about a week in advance. That's why no one has been calling into the program as well. It's not a live program at this time. However, I am hoping to go live once again, but I need an equipment upgrade to do so, so please keep that in your prayer. Since the Pope became ill, this ministry has been literally inundated with emails asking, what's next? I assume by that question, some think I'm able to see into the future. However, I would like to quench that assumption to make it plain this day I am no prophet. I can only share what I see in the Word of God. His prophecy, as well as historic record, is sufficient for us, for those of us that trust the Word of God. Any one of us can do this if we simply trust the Lord that wrote the Word and do the legwork necessary to find the historic records that verify the prophecies of 100% authentic. Of course, this study of eschatology is not meant to bolster my faith or our faith or those of us that do the research, even though this is inevitable, as this is the case when you read Scripture. That's the cause and effect of reading the Word of God, because it says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I guess you can call that a fringe benefit or a perk for the man of or woman of God. You know, we are blessed by trying to help others see as we see when we go into the Scriptures. We try to get a better understanding and an ability to share it with others, and in so doing, we're blessed by reading the Scriptures, because faith does come by hearing, and hearing is the Word of God. What an awesome God we worship that He would do that for us. And yes, I also do the research so as to better educate those that are too busy or unable to do the research on their own. In this age of convenience, it's nice to have a place you can go to, you know, to find all the facts already laid out in advance for you. That's why most of the people that do hit my site are researchers and pastors, preachers, ministers, because they're looking for a way to get all the legwork done in advance, because, I mean, there's a lot of work involved in doing this research, and it's nice, like, especially if you have to do a sermon every week, it's nice to have a place that's already been, the research has been done for you. But that does not mean I, or any man, holds all the truth. Verify everything I say and verify everything anybody else says that you do research on. Like, in other words, if you find a preacher that has some information laid out, double check it. At least now you have the sources. It makes your job that much easier. When the news came that the Pope was sick, I knew that eventually I would have to comment on his death, as well as what I felt was a possible next step for Rome. Many years ago, as many of you are already aware, I was Catholic. In fact, I was a devout Catholic. I went to Mass daily each morning the last 2 years or so as a Catholic. I was in the church for every holy day of obligation. I said the rosary each and every day. That was back when it was only three sections. Now it's four. So it was like with my speed talking, if you will, I could get a rosary done in 45 minutes back then. Now I guess it would probably take an hour, because I would do 15 minutes a decade. Or a rosary, 15 minutes of rosary. I think a decade, there's five decades on each rosary. I can't remember. It's been 20 years. Anyway, I also taught Catholic catechism doctrine to the children, and I was even a Eucharistic minister for the church. So, yes, I was devout. During my time as a Catholic, I also studied Catholic prophecy as much as I could, because ever since my youth, I had a strong and deep desire to do so. It fascinated me that there was a God that was able not only to predict the future with 100% accuracy, He was willing to let us know about it. However, being Catholic, this meant that when I studied prophecy, I did so in accordance with what the church taught, and that was most assuredly not from Holy Scripture. In fact, coming from a devout Catholic family, the Bible was thought to be an undesirable book filled with mistakes in doctrines the church was at liberty to change, and did in fact change over the years. So I never thought to peer into its pages because it was thought to be a waste of time anyway. It wasn't until many years later that I was forced into the Bible, and I say forced because as a Catholic, I certainly didn't want to do it. But everywhere I looked, there were people with Bibles in their hands telling me I was headed to hell in a handbasket. So I decided to open a Bible to prove them wrong. Needless to say, I found out rather quickly they were right. I found within the pages of the Bible prophecies that were not mixed with man's opinions and massive errors. I found prophecies that matched perfectly with historic record as well. And I found that the prophecies speaking about Antichrist all pointed to the Roman Catholic Vatican. Needless to say, it wasn't long after this that I left that church. Of course, I go into a little bit more detail as to my decision to leave the church in my book, The Second Window. It's on the website in the free book section of the site at remnantofgod.org. You can download or read it on the site either way. So, what does Rome hope to have happen next? Sad thing is, most of us, you know, realize that whatever they desire is going to happen anyway. Problem for them is, most of it will be extremely short-lived. Jesus will put an end to their so-called eternal city far sooner than any of them had ever hoped. In Catholic prophecy, one of the most notable prophets of Rome would have to be a man called Saint Malachi, or Malachi, however you want to pronounce it. I pronounce it Malachi. Malachi's family name was actually Omorager. Omorager or Omorager. And he was born in Armagh, Ireland, in 1094. He was baptized as Maelmenhedoc, and his name, of course, was Latinized into Malachi. He supposedly put together a list of future popes long before they were ever elected. His work was later published in 1559, some 500 years after his death, or his existence. It was published by a Benedictine historian named Arnold Wyon in his book Lignum Vitrae. In like manner to Nostradamus, a proven false prophet of Roman Catholicism, Malachi hinted in very generalized terms as to what each pope would do. Now, I don't doubt for a minute there was an outside influence in this man's prophetic utterances, as was the case with, is the case rather, with most Catholic mystics. For example, Nostradamus used a black mirror or a bowl of water to get his visions. So, like most Catholic prelates, or even laymen for that matter, they see no wrong in delving into tactics straight from Satanism and his religion, formerly called the occult, for information about the future. Here's a short example from the Catholic Encyclopedia regarding St. Malachi and his work. I get this from the 1913 edition of the Catholic Encyclopedia. It says, "The most famous and best-known prophecies about the popes are those attributed to St. Malachi. In 1139, he went to Rome to give an account of the affairs of his diocese to the Pope, Innocent II, who promised him two palliums for the metropolitan sees of Armagh and Cashel. While at Rome, he received, according to Abbe Coucharet, I guess he wrote about it, the strange vision of the future wherein was unfolded before his mind the long list of illustrious pontiffs who were to rule the church until the end of time. The same author tells us that St. Malachi gave his manuscript to Innocent II to counsel him in the midst of his tribulations, and that the document remained unknown in the Roman archives until its discovery in 1590. They were first published by Arnold D. Wyon, and ever since there has been much discussion as to whether they are genuine predictions of St. Malachi or forgeries. The silence of 400 years on the part of so many learned authors who had written about the popes, and the silence of St. Bernard especially, who wrote the life of St. Malachi, is a strong argument against their authenticity. They actually said that in the Catholic Encyclopedia, but, they go on to say, but it is not conclusive if we adopt Coucharet's theory that they were hidden in the archives during those 400 years. So, as you can see, even those Rome has even though Rome has a strong argument against their authenticity, they still hold to them as valid because they assume to have been laying around untouched within the Vatican archives for 400 years. And they place validity to their admitted argument of its falsehood by suggesting an adoption of Kusharit's theory that they were in fact hidden in the archives for those 400 years. Now, no proof is given, of course, on that statement. Just the normal assuming language we see Rome infamous for. Need I mention the assumption of Mary they held so strongly to without the slightest bit of scriptural or even historical evidence? You know, the main problem here is this. This is a church that is wholly based on lies and the crafty art of lying, without getting into literally thousands of instances where this church has been caught lying in history, as well as modern day. Suffice it to say, did they not lie about child molestations for years in our day alone? And did not the Pope himself admit on March 12, 2000 in his Mea Culpa that the church lied for the last few hundred years regarding their role in the 500 million murders of Christians during the Dark Ages, as well as the modern day slaughter of the Jews? So yes, this is a church of lies, and since it is based on such, one cannot look to it as a source of truth. So when looking into their so-called prophecies, be forewarned that this is coming from a church known for its ability to make a lie seem truthful. The Catholic Encyclopedia comments further on St. Malachi in such a way that further illustrates their haphazard method of prophetic deciphering. One, I am sure you will find to be 100% unbiblical, to say the least. The Encyclopedia says this. They say, these short prophetical announcements, in number, 112 of them, indicate some noticeable trait of all future popes from Celestine II, who was elected in the year 1130, until the end of the world. They are enunciated under mystical titles, you know, just like Nostradamus did. Those who have undertaken to interpret and explain these symbolic prophecies have succeeded in discovering some... Now, listen to how vague they run the gamut here. They go... They succeeded in discovering some trait, allusion, point, similitude in their application to the individual popes, either as to their country, the name, their name, their coat of arms, insignia, their birthplace, their talent or learning, their title or the office that they held in church, like their, whether they were cardinal or whatever, the dignities which they held, etc. I mean, for example, this is what they continue to say. They go, for example, the prophecy concerning Urban VIII is Lilium et Rosa, which in English roughly means the lily and the rose. He was a native of Florence, and on the arms of Florence is figured a fleur de lis. They also say that he had three bees emblazoned on his shield or his escutcheon. And the bees gathering honey from the lilies and the roses. Again, the name accords often with some remarkable and rare circumstance in the Pope's career. Thus, and they go on to talk about another Pope, in Latin, the motto that the so-called saint gives is Peregrinus Apostolicus, which is Pilgrim Pope in English, which designates Pope Pius VI, appears to be verified by his journey when the Pope went into Germany, and by his long career as Pope, and by his extirpation from Rome at the end of his pontificate. So here, they are using assumptions to make St. Malachi's prophetic utterances appear valid. Such generalization can only come from Satan. Fact is, the Word of God states plainly on how to decipher prophecy in 2 Peter 1:20, as well as a how to test the spirits to see if they are of God in 1 John 4:1. This church never uses these methods, either one of them. This is why demonic utterances like this are embraced as truth. This is also why apparitions of Mary are accepted by this church. Had they investigated what this so-called Mary is saying, with what the Word of God says, they would see it's not Mary, but actually a demon posing as her. I go into deep detail on this on my website in my It's Not Mary page. I think it's on the Roman Catholic or the RCC Exposed section of the website. Now, I used this excerpt from the Catholic Encyclopedia because of what they said about the so-called prediction speaking of a pilgrim pope. They also stated in the article that Malachi often mentioned rare circumstances to the Pope's career as a method of defining said Pope. Here they said his pilgrim name describes a rare circumstance of walking into a strange country. The truth is, all throughout history, there are many popes that have walked into countries for the first time in their pontificate. So this extremely vague prediction would work for any of them as well. In fact, this is no different than the generalized predictions you see each and every year in the tabloids around January 1st by dozens of so-called psychics. The reason this one seems so much more authentic or accurate is because of the way his comments are worded in advance. They can be manipulated in a bevy of ways to make them appear authentic. Malachi purposely left the door wide open here to allow just about any person on earth to be called a prophesied fulfillment of his prophecies. My opinion on this list of predictions is that I strongly believe they're no different than any corporate manual that outlines its future goals and aspirations down the road. Enron had one. Most government agencies have them, or most governments themselves have them. And even most life insurance salesmen have them. In fact, every resume on earth wouldn't be complete without one. Does this make the writers of these books or government documents or resumes or scratch paper notes that usually take decades to come to fruition prophets? I mean, are they prophets now because they wrote these things down in advance? No, of course not. It's just a series of instructions and guidelines designed to reach an agreed upon long or short term goal. Nothing more, nothing less. Truth is, this is exactly how Rome has always operated. Looking to the name they chose for their church proves this, their mindset, on day one. They chose to call themselves Catholic. What does that word mean in English? Well, if you look up in just about any dictionary, I did the WorldNet dictionary online from Princeton University, the word Catholic literally means universal in English. Their plans from day one was of a global realization. That, my friends, is directly out of the pages of prophecy regarding Antichrist's desire to destroy Christianity on a global scale and take all the world as its victim. Praise the Lord, the prophecy of our Lord says that will never happen. Because there is a remnant of God that cannot be deceived. Now, according to Saint Malachi, there is to be two more popes after John Paul II. Before going further, let me say this. Satan is well known to use this same method of attack since day one. He just likes to spice up it, here and there, with a small change here and a twisted truth there. He loves to get the people off guard and in a place for a fall they cannot escape from. For example, the 7-year tribulation lie is a perfect example of that theology. Those that believe in this theory think there will be a secret rapture of the faithful Christians, and then those left behind will have 7 years to get right with God. Their sign, of course, is to get rid of, to get right with Christ when they see a sudden disappearance of millions upon millions of Christians. They have even come up with fanciful books and movies on this spurious and completely unbiblical doctrine. Problem with their theory is, those that know how to investigate Bible prophecy know the Word of God speaks quite descriptively regarding the second coming of Christ, and there is overwhelming evidence within that Word it will not be a secret when He returns, nor will there be 7 years to get ready for His return. There won't even be 7 nanoseconds. However, Satan has conditioned the masses to such a point that they are actually counting on that 7 years religiously now. When Jesus comes, all of them will be caught off guard, waiting for a secret rapture as their sign. Once Jesus splits that eastern sky and appears before every eye, they will know their pastors lied to them, and they will know they are eternally lost. For all the Bible verses that never seem to make it to the pulpits today, which in fact go into rather graphic detail about what will and will not happen at the second coming of Christ, I have 2 pages on the website. You might want to take a look at it, remnantofgod.org. Just go to the prophecy section of the website and look at the page called 7-Year Trib, Fact or Fiction. And in the free books section of the website, there's another book I wrote called The Rapture. I share every single passage in the Word that talks about the second coming of Christ, and you're going to find a lot of them in there that you don't hear from your pulpits. Why? Because if they spoke those verses, then you would know they're lying about the 7-year trip. Okay, continuing. So a word of warning would have to be for all. Do not trust Roman Catholic prophecy in any way, shape, or form. If you do have a desire to trust it, then trust it to be wrong. It is designed to prevent your readiness of Christ. In fact, both the 7-year trib lie and the secret rapture lie have already been documented and they were fabricated by Roman Catholic Jesuit priests for the sole purpose of scaring people back into the pews that Martin Luther was causing to leave during the Reformation. I cover that historic fact in both those links that I mentioned just a minute ago as well. So, anyway, getting back to Malachi's so-called prophetic utterances, think on it this way. And by the way, this is just one toss of the coin. There are yet other ways to expose and or decipher this movement of Satan. Malachi writes a course of action, let's say. Okay? Let's just look at it as this toss of the coin. He writes a course of action. Rome needs to put into play his course of action so as to ensure global dominance once again, since it lost it when Rome fell. The Catholic Church needs to do this. This course of action, or future corporate goals and agenda, is supposedly tucked away in the Vatican archives and found some 400 years later. Now I don't doubt for a minute the priest, the innocent priest, that discovered the list was unaware it was placed in the archives a few days or even a few months prior for him to find, or suddenly discover. After peering into what he believes to be an authentic 400-year-old manuscript, he discovers St. Malachi, his somewhat alluring ability to predict the popes of the future, even after the author is dead, because the book is supposedly 400 years old. So he brings the manuscript to his superiors, who, of course, already know of its origin, because they're the ones that placed it there in the first place, for him to find. It then becomes a blessed document. Now, all they need to do is what people have done with Nostradamus' writings of old. They need to make it appear as if it is saying something that pertains to each and every pope. They need to dig deep and fabricate events as well as idiosyncrasies of each and every pope through time so as to further validate their fabricated prophetic list. And like the people that embrace the 7-year trib lie, many now feel we have only 2 popes left. But what happens when Jesus arrives during the next pontificate, if in fact this is when he arrives? Like the 7-year trib theory. They're caught off guard, right? And seeing how human nature is to procrastinate, especially in the area of eternal interests, they're doomed. Am I saying this will happen? No, I'm not. I am merely suggesting that this is plausible. For the devil also understands prophecy. In fact, he knows it far better than we do, as he was created with superior intelligence. Okay, now, let's toss the coin up once more and look at it from this angle. Let's say the prophetic number of popes is accurate, but the facts pertaining to each pope are fabricated by the church to make them appear holy and acceptable. For those of us that understand simple Bible doctrine, we know this church is evil. So already we see fabrications running amok. But how does that alter the course of God's people? How can the devil use this to his advantage? Well, the Roman Catholic Church has 1.2 billion souls under their roof right now, and most Protestant denominations are embracing her lies today thanks to the ultimate Roman Catholic commercial, The Passion of the Christ, or as I like to refer to it as The Passion of the Antichrist. How is this a problem? All the fabrications in these so-called prophetic utterances by Malachi are believed by the masses to be truth now simply because their religious leaders preach the Pope a holy man. Billy Graham, a once staunch exposer of the Pope, now calls him a holy man of God. Even the Seventh-day Adventist church leaders, which of old boldly and openly proclaimed the Pope Antichrist, now proclaim that the prophetic facts concerning same are worthy of the trash heap. In fact, every Protestant denominational leader on earth once said the Pope was Antichrist. Yet today, all churches call him blessed. When all the leaders are calling the man of sin holy, their followers are going to do so as well. In so doing, they stay within his grasp. all the way up to the time prophecy declares the Vatican will burn in judgment. See Revelation 18:9 for that matter. That will seal their fate, because at the time the Vatican burns, the people will have already been judged unworthy of heaven, according to Revelation 22:11. The plagues have started, and their fate is eternally sealed. However, if you look into Malachi's predictions, this burning of Rome is portrayed as persecutions now instead of judgment. Okay? After the break, I'm going to share some actual prophetic utterances, if you will, from St. Malachi of the Roman Catholic Church and what the Bible says about them. So please stick around for the Truth Provided broadcast. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.